Good morning, Celeste Headley here. I'm joined on The Takeaway by Todd Zwillick, who's filling in for John Hockenberry today. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Celeste.
We're going to start in Bahrain. Thousands of mourners are attending burials this morning after five people were killed. Hundreds were injured in a deadly assault on pro-reform protesters in Pearl Square in the capital of Manama. Today, the military says it has control over most parts of the city and has put a ban on public gatherings. Joining us now is Nick Kristof, columnist for our partner, the New York Times. And Nick, I understand that you were at a mosque. Noon prayers have just ended. What is happening in the city now?
Well, there was a huge, huge turnout for noon prayers. This was a quite politicized mosque in the village of Daraz, and the imam gave a thunderous speech denouncing the government, but he also asked the Shiites there not to speak ill of Sunnis, and actually the congregation then chanted that you know, that Sunnis and Shias, that we were all brothers, which was kind of a rare moment of kind of collegiality and cooperation. The funeral, I was at the funerals earlier, and they also went peacefully. There's so much tension in the air in Bahrain. It is just thick with tension and apprehension about the future. But at least today, the police have stayed back, and they've allowed the funerals to go ahead. They did not interfere with these noon prayers. And so, you know, one hopes that they've absorbed a lesson and that will continue.
Well, we spoke to you before in terms of wondering whether or not the protests and demonstrations themselves would continue in light of the very aggressive reaction from the government. And it sounds as though the protesters are becoming more, actually more activated, and that it could go further. In fact, I'm reading one of your tweets in which you said that they're planning a huge march to possibly retake Pearl Square.
Yeah, I just met with some of the opposition leaders, and they told me that they are going to be meeting today to decide the timing of it, but that they have decided in principle that seven major opposition groups will together have a huge demonstration to march on the Pearl roundabout to retake it from the army. And given that the army very aggressively moved in to capture it and kill people in the process of doing it, it is impossible to imagine, or almost impossible to imagine, the army allowing that march to proceed. And I have a lot of concern about what will happen then. They say that while they've decided firmly that that is going to be the direction of that march, they haven't decided whether to hold it tomorrow or, because there's still some funeral processions going on, whether to wait another day or two after that.
Nick, there's been criticism and concern from surrounding countries, some people in Saudi Arabia, who are afraid that this pro-democracy movement is actually an attempt to create an Islamic theocracy in Bahrain, such as we see in Iran. Is there any sign that this is a religious movement?
Well, there's certainly a religious dimension to it, and it's certainly, and also a sectarian element to it, in that the protests have been dominated by Shiites, who were traditionally the repressed and marginalized people here. But I should also say that, you know, the excuse that every ruler has used in the Middle East for their brand of autocracy, for torture, for repression, has been that if we don't do this, the Islamists will take over. And I just don't find that a credible excuse for continuing dictatorships and vast numbers of political prisoners. I've been talking to a lot of the protesters, asking them about Iran, and you know, they identify very much with the Iranian pro-democracy movement out in the streets. I asked them about whether the Fifth Fleet could continue to stay in Bahrain in a more democratic society, and you know, they're open to that. They're sort of not on their radar, essentially.
Well, Nick, speaking of leaders in, you know, autocratic leaders in Bahrain and elsewhere, well, just in Bahrain, you know, so much criticism of the United States early on in Egypt that the president, the secretary of state, didn't make more forceful statements for the pro-democracy demonstrators. Take a step back for a second. How do you think the United States should be handling the current volatile situation given our undeniable interests in Bahrain?
I think that It has actually worked out a lot better in Bahrain. In Egypt, we unfortunately seem to be active, but on the side of Mubarak. That was the way we were perceived in Tahrir Square. So we came across, and we both bolstered this narrative about America pulling the strings all the time, and, you know, secondly, in ways that were contrary to people power. In Bahrain, the U.S. just really is not a player. People don't really talk about it. It's clear that the king and the royal family are calling the shots and are behind the repression. And there is a sense among the protesters that while the U.S. is very close to the royal family, that the U.S. also does disapprove of this kind of violence and is, to some degree, a restraining force on the government's brutality. And that, at the end of the day, is, you know, is a good thing, is perceived well. And people, I mean, people recognize the U.S. is pulling punches and isn't speaking out maybe as much as they would like, but that's also something that everybody here lives with themselves in their own private life. And so they understand why the U.S., given the Fifth Fleet's presence here as a base, why the U.S. would pull those punches.
Well, Nick, one last question for you. I mean, are we seeing perhaps more or less organization than we saw in Egypt? Are there any leaders coming to the fore to kind of galvanize the people or make demands for the people specifically?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of opposition leaders. There's a long history of a democracy movement bubbling up here. And people at the end of the day would probably consent to some kind of a constitutional monarchy like Morocco, like Jordan, where the king has some power, but much less than now.
Okay, that is a Nick Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times. He's reporting to us live from Bahrain. I do want to play you one last clip. This is the foreign minister of Bahrain talking about why they took aggressive action against the demonstrators.
The country was walking on the brink of a sectarian abyss. So it was a very important step that had to happen. Police took every care possible, but this is... As you know, there's nothing that guarantees that mishap could happen, and that unfortunately led to deaths.
Again, five people were killed when police opened fire on sleeping protesters in Pearl Square. Nick Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, had reported that he did not see any of the protesters armed.